This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and you are, of course, with Lynn, Iman, and Kelvin. And this hour, we're talking about the importance of libraries. We recently spoke about museums and had just, what we thought was a delightfully nerdy chat. And so this time, libraries, as well as how to promote a reading culture among Malaysians. So we are talking about community libraries, first of all, because this is after Sabah Chief Minister Datuk Sri Shafiq Abdal called for libraries in Sabah to be well-equipped with books and reference materials in order to attract more visitors.
A study by the National Library in 2014 found that Malaysians read, on average, 15 books a year. In developed countries, they read about 40 books a year. So, of course, there are different reasons why some people only read a limited amount of books every year. For some, it's not just because they don't want to read, but some just can't find the time or don't have the access.
So, well-equipped community libraries can help promote reading among the public, and things like Instagrammable interiors and exteriors and having various activities and exhibitions at the library can help draw visitors and hopefully encourage people to read.
So I guess before we get to our own thoughts on this, we would love to hear from you. Do you visit libraries? And also, do you like to read? Do you think that, and what has made you a reader, really? Because while we're talking about trying to encourage reading culture, right, it's really all about that. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. And of your own free will, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can head there to our Twitter page where we do have a poll up and answer our question, which is whether or not you visit libraries on a regular basis.
Yeah, so I think for me, it has been something that I'm trying to get better at. I'm not the best or the most ferocious of readers. I don't read enough, clearly. And it kind of started out in schools, especially, strangely enough, it was actually the Neelam program that got me to start reading a bit more. Also because my school had a better library compared to other schools around. More interesting books. Sure, they were dated, they were dusty, they were old, but the variety was there. Especially since my parents didn't particularly take to investing in books, because they say, well, you'll get done with this in 3 weeks, so there's not really much worth in spending that 50 ringgit on that book.
For me, my reading habits change when I was a student and when I'm working, because obviously when I'm working, less time to read. But the types of books as well that are being read, it could involve like lots of academic books, which I know if it counts in the statistics of 15 books a year, because if it doesn't, I've read like 100 this year. But otherwise, obviously, I would prefer to spend my time reading fictional books, just because it can get me in a zone and can follow a story and a character.
For me, I really think that libraries have an important role to play in terms of not just encouraging reading, but encouraging community gatherings, which is the role that libraries play abroad, right? It's there are readings organized, there are usually talks. Librarians also play a huge role in terms of providing that sort of early guidance for children who are planning to read, as opposed to, and I've spoken about this before, but as somebody who did read a lot as a kid, nobody was there to tell me what to do, which meant that I read wildly inappropriate things for a young child. You know, it's just things that were way older than what I should have been reading. And on the one hand, I'm glad, because it interested me in stories. It continued to feed that hunger for books. But I think in a more controlled space, like a library, where I would also have that unlimited sense of, oh, there are just so many books here, I can spend my time slowly going through them. As opposed to, like you said, right, Kelvin, books are money.
Yeah.
And so after a while, you start to really have to decide and make decisions. And that, I suppose, in some ways also lessens your feeling of exposure to books, because it feels as if you can only get one book per trip, or you can only get two books per visit, that kind of thing, as opposed to libraries where it's a never-ending resource.
And I don't know if the community libraries in Malaysia are like underutilized, because I spend some time sometimes in the community library in Setia Wangsa, and people who go there if they're not students, they're like random people who when they go there, they don't really read the books, but they're there for the internet and for the air conditioning. So, and my local library here has been under construction for like 10 million years, it feels like. And it's just very disappointing when every time I go there, I just cannot use the facilities there. And so that's also something to consider as to what extent are community libraries being used in over here.
I mean, it's okay if they want to just go there for the aircon. I mean, for me, it's like as long as they're in there, it does serve its function, right? It is just a place sometimes for people to gather. Mm. I've been in, well, I want to say badly run libraries where students were allowed to bring in food to eat. They were allowed to talk. That was not the best experience I've had. I've also worked as a part-time custodian of a librarian, because that was just something to fill up time after school, for example. Students would try to sneak in food if they can. So there's also something about being able to respect that space, I guess.
We're talking today about the importance of libraries and how they promote a reading culture, hopefully, fingers crossed, among Malaysians. And we want to hear from you. Do you go to libraries often? Do you think they play an important role? Do you read? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and also reply our poll on Twitter, which is whether or not you visit libraries on a regular basis. Right now, 92% of people have said no, which is, I think, round about what we expected to hear. Mm. But, you know, hopefully we get more library visitors soon. Again, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to discuss this exact situation, this issue with community libraries, with Chun Hua Hu, who is the managing director of NGO Hub, which runs the community library program. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 in the evening, and you are listening to Lynn, Ayman, and Kelvin, and we're discussing libraries today. And now we're turning our attention to community libraries and the role that they play. We'd like to hear from you, though. Do you visit libraries often? Do they matter to you? Do you read? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We're crossing over now to Chun Hua Hu, Managing Director of NGO Hub, which runs the Community Library Program. Wahoo, thanks for joining us on the show today. You've been part of this effort to build community libraries for 7 years. Talk to us about why you feel it's important to build community libraries.
Well, I think that one of the main problem of that there's a lack of reading culture in Malaysia is because sometimes it's because of access to reading materials. And with that, we have this project, community library, where we are trying to give easier access to reading materials to communities all over the country. So traditionally, you find libraries in schools or in big cities. They may have their state libraries and the national library in the KL. But there are a lot more. We feel like there's a lot more places when you can expose, especially young people, to books. And that's how the community library project came about. And we have been installing libraries, for the past 6-7 years. I think we have installed more than 40-50 libraries around the country in rural areas and urban areas.
Can you walk us through your process of setting up community libraries?
Yeah, so we used to, in the very beginning, our organization runs a lot of community centers where we teach English and IT skills for free all around Malaysia. So we have been in more than 90 communities. These programs run for 1 to 3 years. And usually in that program, we operate in a community hall, in a Balai Raya, for example, or in a Orang Asi village, in a common hall that they use. And also sometimes in NGOs all around the country. And when we are in this space running our training programs, we started installing libraries in the space as well, hoping to also start a culture of young kids or youth hanging out around the area and then being exposed to reading materials and eventually picking up the habit of reading. Eventually, in the past couple of years, we have been focusing more on installing libraries also in NGOs. So we go around also trying to promote this program, this library program. And when we find a funder who's willing to support it, we will find suitable NGOs who want to set up a library in their premise.
So in terms of function, how do community libraries differ from state-level libraries or the national library?
Yeah, so my personal opinion is that we don't have enough libraries. So that I think the keyword is exposure. You know, if you look at the number of libraries we have in Malaysia, I think the number is small and somehow it's not attractive enough to a lot of people, the public. What we are trying to do is we are trying to create mini libraries. With between 300 and 500 books. Storybooks, interesting, attractive reading materials, and then set it up in a place where there's already traffic. It's that, people are already hanging out in those areas, and getting people who visit that space to be exposed to reading material. They may pick up a book, and then start to enjoy reading one or two of these stories, and eventually, hopefully, it would develop a habit. So when we set up a library, we also equip it with a couple of beanbags, also a carpet to make it inviting and make it more like a space that they can just sit and hang out and chit-chat, So that draws people to that space and hopefully they will pick up a book and start reading. So that in that case, we are trying to create more exposure compared to a lot of these libraries, that's existing. I think the number is too small.
There is also much talk about technology and its effect on books and reading at the moment. Is this something you try to implement in your community libraries as well?
At the moment, we really focus on traditional printed books. I feel like this is something to be explored. I mean, having new technologies in libraries, because I do see there's a big future into it, where it will be something very attractive, to draw people into reading. But then again, we have an issue of, the management and the maintenance of the library. What we set up is a simple format of library. And then, the reason also we are setting up in NGOs, more focused on organizations, is because there is always a person there to manage the library, to keep it running and sustain it. Part of the thing we are trying to do is also encourage them to have activities, some reading workshops or, some other activities to draw people to the library.
So based on your observations, what library services or activities are the most effective in drawing visitors?
I think it really depends on, the creativity of, the people running the library. From the beginning, our objective is very simple. It's just to, there are already a lot of very attractive reading materials. When people pick up reading, they start with reading fiction, stories, novels. And the only thing is to put this all around the place so that people get easily exposed to it. I think that's one key factor we try to deal with in setting up the libraries. Other than that, we have had activities where we have authors coming and reading their books and then inviting people to come and listen. And we have activities for kids, for example, reading activities for kids, organize that. We have some libraries did treasure hunts. It may not be directly related to, reading, but, they can put certain activities, finding information in the book, and these are just to attract them to come to the library and eventually pick up reading.
So on that note of picking up reading, Wahoo, what are your thoughts on the reading culture situation among the Malaysian public today?
Well, in Malaysia, what I see is that we really don't have that reading culture. Even in the world now, I mean, the trend is to reading smaller and smaller bits of information, for reading blogs and Twitter, you know, with a limited number of characters. But the joy and the benefit of reading books, it's you know, I really believe in the benefit because it has changed my life. The average Malaysians read 2 books a year. And, you know, there's so much of knowledge and just, you know, the way of exploring the world, so much joy in reading books that people just need to get exposed to. And when they pick it up, they will find an entire world to explore. So I would really encourage people to start reading, or encourage those who want to fund our program to come and speak to us. Maybe we can work out a partnership and set up more libraries around Malaysia.
Wahoo, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Chun Wahoo, Managing Director of NGO Hub, discussing the importance of community libraries and really kind of the ins and outs of running one and starting one, which really makes me feel like I want to do it. I mean, that was such, there were so many beautiful points and ideas raised in that about the importance of having these sorts of spaces.
Yeah, and because they are meant to be conducive specifically for reading, and it is so much factors, right? If we do want to encourage and build a culture of reading in Malaysia, that includes making books accessible if you want to buy them, but also making them available at libraries, also keeping up with the trends, making sure that your books are updated. They're not the same ones that perhaps teens were reading 10, 15 years ago, for example.
And it's interesting when you said that some libraries organize treasure hunts to attract people to come to libraries.
Yeah.
And that eventually helps them pick up reading. So it's just a matter of making books a part of your life, and that's one of the ways to encourage people to read and inculcate a reading habit in Malaysia.
Yeah, and also I think to think about libraries not just as spaces of reading, because as you pointed out earlier, they're also places just to do research and places to gather, to learn. Like, a single library can actually play multiple roles, right? It's not just one single thing. It's not just a place that has books, which is not, I don't think, accurate. We do have a poll running at the moment, and so far, the question is whether you visit libraries on a regular basis, and the no vote with a frowny face is at 87%, with yes resting at 13. So do weigh in. You can find that on our Twitter. And now on the line with us is Amira. Amira, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. So I used to go to high school next to the National Library, and as a result, we used to visit the library really often. We used to go every 2 weeks and you could borrow up to 3 books. But why we stopped going was, number one, the section of the books available even at Perpustakaan Negara was so limited. It seemed as though the books that publishers couldn't sell, those were the books that got into the library's collection. And then number two, the database that was available for us to chart the books was not user-friendly at all. And it makes it so difficult for you to browse and see what books are available before you actually go to the library and then look it up. So that was the issue, yeah.
What kind of books would you like to have in the National Library?
So, just talking about fiction books as well, a lot of the fiction books that are available are quite old books, 1 to 2 years since it's been published. Whereas, if you go to libraries in the UK, in Europe, books which have published 2 weeks ago are available for users to read. So it's quite shocking that the National Library itself, so much money is pumped in, yet the books available are old books.
Amira, thank you so much for calling and for sharing that. And I think in terms of wanting to keep the idea of reading fresh, right? Part of it is wanting to be part of those conversations that are going around new books, that are going around the books that everybody else is talking about. And I think that's a really great point.
Yeah, you want to catch on to trends, right? Similar to how you want to watch the most talked about movie at the soonest time you can. Similar with books, you want to be able to catch the latest one, read the latest one, and make sure you have enough copies, because it is not a one-time investment, right? The trend in reading that very popular book won't just last necessarily just at one period of time. In the next year, if a movie is released about it, people may want to get that same book again.
So on WhatsApp, we have some messages coming in. April saying, I read a lot, but never in the form of books. There are articles, forum discussions, journal papers, even Wikipedia. Does that count as reading? And I think it definitely does count as reading. I think the stamina and attention required to read a book is slightly different to what you might find in sort of shorter bursts.
Yeah, speaking of shorter bursts, I remember this article I read that they introduced this new machine in tube stations in London. It's like a vending machine where for free you can just print out this is the size of a receipt. It's a short story, 10 second read, 30 second read, that you can just read in between stations. So that's one of the ways that they wanted to encourage people to read. So I really, when I saw that, I really wanted it to be here in Malaysia as well.
There was a local bookshop that used to print stories on the other side of their receipts as well. I don't know if they still do it. They are, of course, still running, but I'm not sure if they're still continuing that practice. It was very cute. On the line with us now is Retna. Retna, good evening. What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts on reading, or what are my thoughts on libraries? I have thoughts on both.
All right, let's start with libraries.
Libraries, we love them. I used to go when I was a kid, many years ago. I continued when I was in university. And once I started working, I still went to libraries because it was a lot cheaper than buying books.
And what do you think overall of, I mean, do you continue to go to libraries now?
Yes, I do. And I take all my kids with me.
Excellent.
Do they enjoy their time in the library?
They love their time in the library, and we have to get them out by other means, like bribing them with food, otherwise there's no dinner. They could stay there the whole day. I heard earlier that on average, Malaysians read like 40 books.
15.
Yeah. Okay. These guys are easily reading 100 plus.
Wow.
All right. Per year. Right. I don't find it difficult to get them to read. In fact, I find it harder to get them to stop because most of the time they're not doing their schoolwork. And they like to read during dinner. They like to read in the car. They like to read in bed. They like to read under the blanket without a light, which is why all of them have really bad eyesight.
Oh, I remember doing that. Yeah, it's complex, but you make it work. Retna, I mean, do you think that they like to read because you like to read?
Okay, it could help that from the time they were young, we had a lot of people give us books, and my mother kept all my books and the rest of the family's books, so we had a lot of books around. We didn't make an effort to try and get them to read too much. We read for them at night, and then they picked it up themselves pretty fast. By three, they were reading on their own, and they've been reading ever since. I think now we have around 6,000 plus books at home.
Retna, thank you so much for calling and for sharing that. I want to go to your house. And just, I don't necessarily, I feel a great sense of responsibility whenever I loan a book. I try whenever possible not to. Yeah. But I just want to go and admire 6,000 books. I have no idea how many I have in my home. It might be something like that, actually, if you count all the stacks.
It sounds like that is a collection larger than some of our libraries here, actually.
Yeah, Retna should set up her own community library.
I think everybody should at this point. It just sounds like a beautiful thing to have. So we're talking today about libraries and the role that they play in our communities and our lives. Do you visit libraries? Do you think it's important? Are you a reader? That's what we want to know. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And you can either tweet us your opinion or join our poll at BFM Radio. And we'll be back after the 5:30 news to continue this conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:40 in the evening and you're listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And we've been talking today about reading and libraries and the importance of those spaces. And we wanted to know from you, you know, do you read? Do you think libraries are important? Have you visited a library recently, you know? And you can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have a WhatsApp here from Sui Lim, and they say, libraries are obsolete. My version is Amazon, Wikipedia, and Google News.
I get why you think that. And I think, for me, the response to that is the same that I said earlier, which is I don't think we should think of libraries just as houses for books.
Yeah.
You know, because they're supposed to be more than that. The fact that we don't have the most vibrant of vibrant of library scenes, I guess, or if there is one, you know, it's not as publicized as it should be, means that we do end up thinking, ah, libraries are obsolete, just look at the ones we have. But they should be more than that.
No, I'm not surprised if in the future there will be libraries solely hosting only ebooks, for example. Though I must admit, with Sui Lim's point about Wikipedia, I mean, I'm also one of those that just gets stuck in those Wikipedia black holes, so I'm just reading thing after thing after thing.
But libraries also serve an important role in terms of the old research materials and documents that can only be accessed at libraries, which are vital for researchers and academicians.
On that note about technology, I guess, competing with libraries in a very fundamental way. We have a message here from Diana who says, I really miss being around libraries. When I lived in DC, my friends and I had a book club because it was easy to all get access to the same book via public libraries. Starting a small book club was initially part of my 2019 New Year's resolutions, but I found that it was difficult to find people who were interested since no one wants to fork out money every month or so to buy a book for a book club. Also, I read so much less now compared to when I was in school, and it's so painful to admit, but it's honestly because of Netflix.
Yeah, and that's what books are competing with now, right? Phones have become super affordable. So you're going to read the news articles that come. You're going to go to YouTube videos. You're going to try to play video games, for example. And that's going to take up and eat up the time and attention you were might have been meaning to spend on books, for instance.
Which is a point, I think, in some ways that Muhammad Hafizul is making here as well.
I don't go to libraries because I don't really like to read physical books or even ebooks, but I really enjoy audiobooks and video format educational materials like Masterclass, Brilliant.org, and YouTube. If libraries provided free access to all these learning sites, I would definitely come more often.
And that's one of the ways that libraries can tap into the technology available to encourage more people to come to libraries. So it's not just a place for books, but also educational materials in the form of videos and audio.
I think it's a wholly separate conversation, but I'm so interested to hear how different people learn things because I find it really, really difficult to absorb things through video. I'm not a visual learner. I don't enjoy it. I hate that you're making me spend 20 minutes, you know, to sit through a video when I could just read an article that would teach me how to do something or transfer this knowledge to me in five. So I think it's about, you know, the amount of time you're willing to give something, how quickly you can get through it, how quickly you read. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a separate conversation, but it's so interesting to me to, you know, hear people talking about the ways they prefer to absorb knowledge.
You're the complete opposite to me. I prefer watching videos over reading.
Lord, it tests my patience beyond belief. You can keep those thoughts about libraries coming, though. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
6:05 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman, and Kelvin. And before we move on to our next story, which is all about history, we wanted to take a look back at what we've been discussing in the last hour, which was really about libraries and whether or not you visit them on a regular basis, whether they're important, and whether you read. So on Twitter, we put out a poll which asked the question, do you visit libraries on a regular basis? And after an hour, the overwhelming consensus is no at 88%.
To be fair, we do have a stronger mall culture here, so we are more likely to visit malls than we do libraries. But that is partially because we just don't have enough libraries and enough good libraries.
Well, and also just the culture of it, right? You said culture, and the fact that going to malls on the weekend has somewhat been normalized. You know, it's just been built into people's weeks. It's something that you grow to expect. It becomes part of your routine. And of course, you could do the same with libraries, but it's just that it's not part of the norm. And perhaps also, like you said, there aren't enough.
Maybe you should just build the libraries in the malls. But on a serious note, in the malls, we have cafes that have their own bookshelves, or some places that offer book exchange initiatives. So that can help as well inculcate a reading culture among Malaysians.
We also have some messages that have come through. Iqbal says, the community library in my neighbourhood is being run on our taxes. They have older sets of books, magazines like Times, newspapers, even the daily ones. I mostly take up books on travel. I read the periodicals. It's a great place to do some programming work as well.
Huh. And also, with all the old articles, the old magazines that they have, it's always so good to use them for research as well. I remember having to go to the National Library because they would have archives of old newspapers. So if you are looking for something nerdy to do, something a bit nerdy to do over the weekend, it's nice to just hit there and have a glance at what papers were saying back in, say, 1989, for example.
Just seeing how... And it's funny as well, seeing how predictions were not fulfilled, like Y2K will destroy a lot of computers, and looking back at it.
It's a bit of a time capsule. Libby on Twitter says, I love books and I go to the library in my university every single day. I just love the scent of books. I developed my reading habits from my mum's collection of recipes since I was a kid. You can call me old school, but I never prefer to read books online, and then in caps, never like it.
So from this tweet, you can see that how... at home, it starts at home, the reading habit, because they got it from the mum's collection of books. So I remember a few years back, they were encouraging creating home libraries just to encourage your kids to read. And I guess we had a caller earlier who had 6,000 books at her home, and that led to her children as well being loving books and making it part of their lives.
We have contrasting views, I think, on the subject of ebooks. I am with Libby. I'm not necessarily one who's like, yay, yeah, give me the impersonal touch of a screen. For others, I completely understand the convenience of it all. June says, flipping through pages and the smell of books can never be compared to e-materials. But on the other hand, we do have April back to say, libraries are too offline to find something you want to read. I read only ebooks that are easy to hunt, light to carry around, and easy to bookmark. Books I read cover to cover thus far, all ebooks.
Yeah, and I guess that would make it easier, right? I think there's that comparison often that how many books you can bring traveling using an ebook versus just one book. But realistically, how many books are you going to read on that one trip, right? I'm not sure if this would work for you. This is just a bit of a random suggestion. Maybe spray your ebook with those colognes that have those book scents on them or something.
Never waste of money, just read a book. and then we also have this from Shuba, who says, library equals travel. You travel to places and countries. You travel through time, wars, civilizations. Mm-hmm. Travel through cultures and religion. You travel between jobs. You travel in the shoes of a person. Disclaimer though, I haven't been to any library for the past 10 years, other than for my degree program. The travel adventures I experienced during school, truly a place to morph.
Yeah, that's the beauty of a library. It's a place where you get lost in your imagination. You can become different people, explore different stories. And I guess if people don't go and visit libraries, can at least read a book, because that's how they can just engage with their imagination and paint various pictures in their mind.
So we'll be continuing our conversation on libraries throughout the show. You can keep those thoughts coming. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.